If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Quorum Radio, Emmanuel Hermosillo, and Someone. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. There is supposedly an old Chinese curse that says, "May you live in interesting times." It's a curse because interesting times are not peaceful. They are full of upheaval and danger. We indeed live in interesting times right now, and one of the most interesting aspects of our time is that many theories that were once considered crackpot are turning out to be true. It would seem that the world is indeed run by an elite few who practice the occult and have an interest in young children. This all brought to light by Hillary Clinton's emails and the revelations concerning Jeffrey Epstein, for example. Of course, not all conspiracy theories are true. They can't be because some contradict each other. But once you go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, you're going to run into certain claims that are universal. The Illuminati, of course, the involvement of Freemasons, and the involvement of the Catholic Church, specifically the Vatican, the Pope, and Jesuits. Now, when it comes to conspiracy theories, I no longer disregard them out of hand like I used to. There are some I do believe, for instance, the fact, and I do call it a fact, that the American media is not objective and unbiased, but rather left-leaning. I've been saying this for over 30 years, and it may seem rather elementary now, but back then, that was crazy talk. We had print media, radio, and three networks for news, and we grew up believing they were all credible and reliable. Once I figured out the opposite was true, I was given much pushback by many of my friends and family. Pushback you don't get today. But there are conspiracy theories that are complete lies, and we shouldn't believe them without credible evidence. The benefit of the doubt goes to the standard belief, and the burden of proof rests on the conspiracy theorist. There are some conspiracy theories that I believe have met the burden of proof, but most, in my opinion, have not. Well, here are some conspiracy theories involving the Catholic Church. It is claimed that the world is controlled by an elite secret organization called the Illuminati. As of now, they work behind the scenes through puppet governments all around the world, giving the people the illusion of control through democracies that put up opposing candidates for people to choose from. Unbeknownst to them, the Illuminati control both sides, and the people are given a false choice. This way, the Illuminati stay in control regardless of the outcome of elections. If someone does get elected outside of Illuminati control, they will be assassinated by some deranged individual before they can do anything that would threaten that control. The Illuminati orchestrate what's called false flag events in order to garner public support for their agenda. For example, they orchestrate school shootings in order to gain public support for gun control. They are behind the events that happened on the 11th day of the 9th month of the year 2001 in order to go to war in the Middle East so the Illuminati could gain control of that region, and orchestrated the illness of 2020 to shut the world down. Because you see, the real goal is to set up a new world order, a one-world government which they will control. They wish to depopulate the world through war, famine, climate catastrophe, they have a weather control machine called HARP, and various medical shots. It all sounds very diabolical. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's not true either. There are elements of this claim that I do believe have met the criteria, and some that have not. The idea that the richest, most powerful families get together and decide the fate of humanity doesn't sound all that far-fetched to me, and using the term Illuminati to describe them is as good as any. So yes, I suppose you could say, I believe in the Illuminati. But what is the Catholic Church's role in all this? Well, the Catholic Church is the single largest religious organization on the planet with 1.2 billion members, all of whom are required to give assent to its head, the Pope, when he speaks infallibly. So if you can get the Catholic Church involved to steer its members into accepting whatever the Illuminati is pushing, well, that goes a long way to achieving the goal. And the covert arm of the Catholic Church is supposedly the Jesuits. They, along with the Freemasons, are the implementers of the Illuminati's schemes. Let me say right off the bat that most Catholics don't trust the Jesuits or the Vatican, but I've always been skeptical about the claims of the Catholic Church's involvement in this because there is not a lot of evidence offered. It's usually just mentioned in passing. A person can prove this claim over here, then throw other claims on top of it, and a person will accept all the claims because the one claim seems credible. And the evidence they do offer is usually pretty easily debunked. For instance, the Catholic Church makes use of the upside-down cross, which is a satanic symbol. Well, neo-pagans and Satanists make use of it now, but in Catholicism, it represents the Apostle Peter, who was crucified upside down, and that predates the satanic use. Modern paganism, witchcraft, and Satanism is just that, modern. It came from Aleister Crowley in the early 20th century. That's not to say there aren't high-level witches who come from families who've been practicing witchcraft for centuries, but they stay hidden. It could be your next-door neighbor, and you would never know it. They also know it's demonic. The stuff that's out in the open is new. Those movements usurped many symbols that the Catholic Church used and gave them nefarious meanings, such as the all-seeing eye, which represents God, and the five-pointed star, which represents the five wounds of Christ. That's why Satanists turned it upside down. And when they claim that people who existed hundreds or even thousands of years ago, B.C., before Christ, were Jesuits, I'm sorry, but you lost me. Jesuit means Society of Jesus. You can't have a Society of Jesus before Jesus, and their founding is pretty well documented. Or that the red shoes the Pope wears has some nefarious meaning, when in fact they represent the Pope's willingness to be martyred. But even if this is all true, it doesn't disprove Catholicism as a religion, and I will get into why that is in my conclusion. According to many Protestant/evangelical Christians, true Christianity is what they practice, and Catholicism was invented by the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century, when he added pagan elements such as praying to Mary and the saints and statues, as well as established the hierarchy, forcing the real Christians underground only to resurface with the Protestant Reformation or sometime after, depending on the group. The proof they offer of this are the various heretical groups through the centuries that the Catholic Church stood against, such as the Gnostics, the Manichaeans, the Donatists, and the Albigensians. Those people were actually them, just under a different name. This claim was put forward by certain Baptist groups originally, but was later adopted by other evangelical Christians. Now remember what I said about the standard view receiving the benefit of the doubt and the alternative view carrying the burden of proof. This is the alternative view. The standard view is that there was one church for 1,000 years, the Catholic Church, that split into East and West around 1054 AD, and the Protestant Reformation, which happened in 1517, accounts for all the other Western Christian groups, including these Baptists and Evangelical Christians. Now, I have probably looked into this alternative claim that says Emperor Constantine started the Catholic Church, forcing the real Christians underground more than any other. Because of where I lived, it is often presented to me, and I can tell you that there is absolutely no credible evidence to support it. Everything they offer is some article or book written by a Baptist or other evangelical pastor or preacher, but nothing from academia or real historians or scholars. And when you look at the actual evidence, what you find is that every Catholic belief that they object to, that they say originated with Constantine, including the hierarchy and the papacy, can be traced to well before Constantine through the early church writings, in most cases to the second and even first centuries. But there is no real evidence of an underground Baptist or evangelical group. All the evidence says that the early Christians were Catholic, not Protestant. And when you look into those groups that they put forward as evidence of their existence prior to the Reformation, they were either wildly heretical or clearly schismatic. They either believed wild things that no Christian today believes, like there are two gods, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, who are not the same God, or that Jesus did not come into the flesh, or they were schismatics preferring this bishop over the appointed bishop, or this guy as the Pope over the real one. And when you point this out to them, They say, well, the Catholic Church got to write history. That's why there's no evidence. They destroyed it. So we're just supposed to take your word or your pastor's word for it? I don't think so. If there's no evidence to support the claim, then where does the claim come from and why do you believe it? Now, this one is interesting. On one hand, you have the atheists who claim not to believe in conspiracy theories, putting forth the conspiracy theory that the Catholic Church oppressed science, imposing the teaching that the earth is flat, completely ignoring the fact that the man who proposed the heliocentric model, Nikola Copernicus, was not only a Catholic, but worked for the Catholic Church, and his work was funded and encouraged by the Catholic Church at that time. And then on the other hand, flat earthers claim it is the Catholic Church who knowingly suppressed the flat earth in favor of the globe earth, and Nikola Copernicus is offered up as proof. So which is it? Did the Catholic Church try to suppress globe earth heliocentrism or flat earth? You can't have it both ways. According to this claim, the Catholic Church kept the Bible from the common people, even going so far as to chain them in the churches, because if people were allowed to read the Bible, they would see that Catholicism was wrong. Now let's get one thing straight. The Catholic Church gave us the Bible. Let me drive that point home. There would be no Bible were it not for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church decided what books would be in the Bible and preserved it through the centuries. But it was never meant to be the sole rule of faith. The reason the church decided what books belonged in the canon of Scripture wasn't to decide what books we should draw our doctrine from. That would be absurd. It was to decide what books were proper for the readings of the Mass. That's right. The Catholic Church reads the Bible out loud to the faithful at every Mass and always has. Even Scripture passages such as, "We are saved by grace through faith and not by works, so no man may boast," and "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness," and "do not go beyond what is written." If you go to Mass every day, you will have a good portion, perhaps even the majority of Scripture, read to you. Why? Because through history, the majority of people couldn't read. Literacy, as the norm, has only been around for a couple of hundred years, and the Church wanted people to know Scripture. Yes, it was in Latin, but I think medieval people understood Latin a lot better than they're given credit for. Think about it. If they went to church every Sunday and heard this language from the time they were born until they died, and not just at church but in other areas of life, because Latin was, for the most part, the official language of Western Europe, they would certainly become familiar with it and pick a lot of it up. How did you learn the language you speak? You didn't. You picked it up. Well, it's foolish to believe these people were surrounded by Latin their whole life and didn't understand any of it. If you go to a Latin Mass today, during the homily, the priest rereads the Bible readings in the common language before his sermon, which is also in the common language. Was that the case then? I don't know. I assume it was, since the whole point of the traditional movement is to continue the ancient practices. I would need evidence to the contrary to say otherwise. And we are told that the liturgies, that's the church services, of the early Christians, 1st and 2nd century, were all in Greek. Did everyone understand Greek? If you say yes, even the uneducated masses, because it was the official language, regardless of the language they spoke, then you have to concede the same for Latin in medieval Europe. So why did they chain Bibles in the churches? For the same reason banks chain pens, so no one will walk off with them, and they will be available for everyone. Before the printing press, Bibles had to be handwritten, a process that took months, so they were rare and expensive. So, no, not everyone could have one, and since most people were illiterate, there was no reason for everyone to have one. Some people claim that the Catholic Church banned the Bible altogether, putting it on the index of forbidden books. They often use the Council of Toulouse in 1229 as proof. Well, the Catholic Church never put the Bible on the index of forbidden books, but it did put erroneous translations of the Bible on the index, such as the Wycliffe, Tyndale, and King James versions, because they had errors and or were missing books, such as the Deuterocanonicals. And yes, the Council of Toulouse did forbid lay people from possessing or reading vernacular translations of the Bible to curb heretical interpretations because of the Albigensian heresy. The ban was temporary and only for that region. It was a local council and did not have universal authority. Now you might say, well, what gives the Catholic Church the right to forbid the Bible at all? Well, like I said, the Catholic Church decided what books would be in it and preserved it through the centuries. It's our book. Freemasons and communists have infiltrated the Catholic Church. Now, here's a conspiracy theory that I do believe, and I think there is ample evidence to support it. Encyclicals by several popes describing Freemasons as covertly trying to destroy the Catholic Church, a documented plan describing how they plan to destroy it from within over the course of what could be 100 years or more, that was ordered to be published by three popes. And that plot unfolding through the 20th century, climaxing with an apparent victory at the Second Vatican Council. And all the weirdness and craziness we see in the Catholic Church today is because of this, and not because it is real Catholicism. Real Catholicism looks like this, not this. All the images of JP2 and others flashing Illuminati and Freemasonic signs, the Serpent Auditorium, are post-Vatican II, when the enemies of the Catholic Church took over the Catholic Church. That's not to say that all the post-Vatican II priests and bishops are Freemasons, though some of them are. The infiltration was one of ideology. Freemasons became priests and bishops, yes, but in order to get into the positions that they could incrementally introduce Freemasonic ideology into the seminaries. This was also all predicted by various Marian apparitions and other mystics. It's clear to anyone who looks at the Catholic Church before Vatican II and after that there was a massive change. I don't want to get into all of that, but the Council revised literally everything, including the style of worship, claiming it was a return to the ancient style. But I really don't think that they had clown masses and rainbow masses in the early church. And the whole world suffers because of Vatican II. As the church goes, so does the world. I'll give you two examples. The Litany of the Saints originally had the line, "Protect us from the spirit of lust." That was removed. And what happened at the end of the 1960s? Remember, Vatican II was from 62 to 65, and after that we had the sexual revolution, and the world has been plunged into sexual deviancy ever since. Father Ripperger says that exorcism used to take only a few days to fully liberate someone. Then something happened around 1963, his words not mine, and it went from a few days to 2 months to 2 years. Gee, wonder what that was. Then something happened around B16's pontificate, and it went to about 2 months. But afterwards, towards the end of his pontificate, it went back to taking much longer. And now they say they basically can't liberate anyone. Yes, the Catholic Church is in really bad shape, but it's still the Catholic Church, and the restoration is not far off. Freemasons, communists, and yes, Jesuits cannot destroy what Christ built. So let's say the first conspiracy theory is true, because the second one isn't, that Constantine started the Catholic Church and the real Christians went underground, nor is the fourth one that the Catholic Church banned the Bible. The third one is confused, and while the last one is real, let's say that the Pope, the Vatican, and the Jesuits are in cahoots with the satanic elite to bring about the New World Order, because they might be. Doesn't that disprove Catholicism? No. First of all, if it is true, it's recent, and the result of the Freemasonic / communistic takeover of the Catholic Church through the 20th century, culminating with the Second Vatican Council. But I'm not a Sedevacantist. I still believe it's the Catholic Church. The reason it doesn't disprove Catholicism is because Catholicism and the Catholic Church are two separate things. Now, don't get me wrong. They are intimately tied, and you can't have Catholicism without the Catholic Church. It is often expressed like this. The Church is both human and divine. The divine Church, the offices established by Christ, of priest, bishop, and pope are holy, and its doctrine is both holy and without error. The human, meaning the men who hold the offices, are human and prone to all the temptations that anyone else are. And yes, evil men can and have held those offices of priest, bishop, and pope. It's a mistake to believe that the Holy Spirit chooses the pope. The College of Cardinals chooses the pope. The Holy Ghost makes his choice known, but they have free will and they don't have to follow. There's a saying among the American Secret Service agents who guard the president, "You select them and we protect them." It's the offices of the Catholic Church of priest, bishop, and pope that are holy, not the men that hold those offices necessarily. And God protects those offices when the right conditions are present from error. The rest of the time, they are as prone to error as we are. Most Americans would say that the offices of president, senator, and representative are good and honorable offices. That doesn't mean everyone who holds them are honorable. And those men and women who hold or held those offices, who are also helping to set up the New World Order, do not disprove the Constitution, for example, or American principles. Well, it's the same thing here. But here's the point I really want to make.
Even if, let's say, Pope Francis was working with Lynn Foster Rothschild
to establish a new world economy, you know, something really crazy like that, what does that have to do with the Immaculate Conception, or purgatory, or the real presence in the Eucharist, or all these doctrines exclusive to Catholicism that the Holy Ghost revealed are absolutely true to His Church? Nothing. Does it affect the efficacy of the sacraments? No. The Church dealt with this a long time ago. The sacraments work ex opere operato, or by virtue of the office, not the man holding the office. The man receives the authority to convect the sacraments by virtue of his ordination or consecration, not his sanctity. Does it prove anything about Catholicism wrong? No. And it doesn't disprove papal infallibility either, because the First Vatican Council is clear. It only happens under strict guidelines that almost never happen. The post-Vatican II popes have only used it a couple of times, and they were right in both cases, contraception and declaring that women can't be priests. Not everything the Pope says is infallible, but you don't know that, and they know you don't know that. So they can spout all kinds of nonsense to reporters and do all kinds of crazy things, and you think it all represents Catholicism when it doesn't. That's why it doesn't disprove Catholicism, because it has nothing to do with Catholicism. Until my next video, God bless.